Independence Day, Thursday, July 4th. We plan to spend this day promoting Hemisphere and highlighting the presence of the Latin American ambassadors we'd brought down on the plane and the ambassadors from most of the countries that had exhibits at the fair. Mrs. Berg came over and gave me a comb out, and we left by chopper about 9:45. We talked about the gun control bill. It'd been another terrible thing. Two dead in Central Park, three shot. The headlines had been reading, Johnson presses gun bill. But a strange thing had happened. The flood of mail that had rolled in support of a strong gun bill had now been reversed. Lyndon showed me some amazing figures that indicated a complete turnaround as expressed in the mail. It was an interesting phenomenon and rather frightening, and no reason at all to stop pressing, but to press harder, though with less hope. We arrived at Hemisphere about 10 and went to the U.S. Pavilion for the flag-raising ceremony. There was a crowd of several thousand people, a good many signs that said, Ole LBJ, everybody in a holiday mood, lots of children, everybody smiling. It was a pleasant, fairly useful day, I think. Actually, the principals see so little on a trip like this. It's just a duty. Ed Clark made, predictably, an amusing, pleasant speech. Sevilla Sakatha, his reliably flowery and friendly one. And John, an excellent introduction of Lyndon, which made my heart happy. Oh. And a graceful, so much more than I deserve, introduction of me, just to stand up. And then we went through the exhibits, without seeing very much, actually, except the retreating cameras in front of us. Our path was roped off, but Lyndon kept on going to the ropes and shaking hands to the right and left. Actually, he saw more people than he did exhibits. In the Texas Pavilion, his interest really came to life, and he examined with admiring scrutiny the contributions of all the ethnic strains that have made Texas what it is. At the Lebanese exhibit, who should be there but Eddie Joseph? And at the Negro exhibit, a couple whose names have long stood for power in the political community of the Negroes in San Antonio. The Negro exhibit is in many ways the most interesting and must have been the most difficult to put together, and everybody is proud of it. I love the Czech and Pole exhibits. John even pointed out an ancient musket that he had contributed. Everybody dug in their attics and in their trunks to find the artifacts that show the life of our state since man first was known here. And then, when Lyndon was going to see the film at the U.S. Pavilion, I told him I would like to go see the Girard exhibit instead. We separated, and I had a delightful 45 minutes going with Patsy Steves through this extraordinary collection of folk art, which includes panoramas of marketplace, wedding, funeral, a montage of life in all the Latin American countries. Mm-hmm. Patsy told me that some of the little doll-like figures made of fabrics from Peru actually dated before the time of Christ. This place would repay hours of looking, which, alas, I didn't have, and I rejoined Lyndon just in time to find that the main interest of the press was two things. The fact that he'd eaten an ice cream cone. When we'd been going through the Texas Hall, he always gets starved for something sweet and especially likes dairy creams on trips like this. And secondly, what did he think of the controversial film? They kept on repeating over and over what I had said about it and tried to get a statement from him. He just sort of brushed it off. At one point, we stopped in one of the reception rooms, and there I recognized a picture, an artist's conception of the marketplace in San Antonio in 1836. Cathedral, ox cart, vendors of chili and tacos. The picture belongs to C.R. Smith, and he's going to give it to the Lyndon Johnson Library, he told me. So I was very pleased to get to see it and report to him on it later. Everywhere, the walls are lined with works of Texas artists. Underdonk, Dawson Watson Watson, Salinas, and a far different school of moderns that I can't make head or tail of. We left about 1:30 and arrived home with me absolutely ravenous, and we threw ourselves upon a substantial lunch of roast beef and rice and carrots and peaches fresh from our own orchard. It's an enormous crop this year. And after lunch, tried to sleep for a couple of hours. Unsuccessfully, got up at 4 and joined Lyndon and Linda and Marie in riding. We went to the Scharnhorst, and the yellow flowers are still a sea, a mass. And the antelope were bounding over them, a breathtaking sight, no matter how often you've seen it. Then we drove into Johnson City, stopped by the house, and then on to the Lewis place, where Linda Bird and I got out and walked not more than a mile around the rim of the cliff that goes straight down to a stream and a pasture beyond. And then we sat in rockers on the front porch at the Lewis house in the most countrified manner possible. She is the best companion I could want. I enjoy her so much. When we are out like this, we cling to the last minute of daylight. My spirits always take an upward lift around December the 21st, when the days begin getting longer. I love the long evenings of summer, and I hate to see pass June the 21st, the solstice, when days gradually get shorter. It was after 9 and dark when we finally came home and had a light dinner, just the staff, vegetable soup and sandwiches. We discussed the film at Hemisphere. I found that Lyndon had liked it. Sure, we ought to show the good things about our society, but there are so many bad things, too. We've got a lot left to do. I was a little surprised and respectful. But why didn't you say so then, I asked. I thought he ought to. I just didn't want to get into a fight with you, he said. The press just wanted to play us up against each other. I am glad that he is more judicial in the long run, for all his often tempestuous nature. Mm-hmm. He is a cool man who takes a long view, not easy prey to the passions of the day. Mm-hmm. And there is a rising passion, I think, among a sizable segment of the population that we have gone too far. We, the government, have tried to help and give too much. Sometimes I'm sure Lyndon is disheartened too, but I think he'd expressed the philosophy of many decades in public life in his July 4th speech today, when he said, "A man who is untrained for work or harassed by ill health, who cannot buy a decent house for his family or see his children well educated, has little independence, despite our 4th of July rhetoric." And so he perseveres. Linda and I and Yolanda and Haywood Smith, Lyndon's aide, played bridge for about an hour and then had a reasonably early bedtime before midnight.